Welcome back to the program. It was Casey Stengel who said, never make predictions, especially about the future, because if you don't know where you're going, you might wind up someplace else. In this rapidly changing world, it certainly does seem almost impossible to predict the future or even to invent it. However, my guest today, Daniel Burris, has made a career of predicting the future, and he has a pretty good track record. He argues that all of us can develop insights about the future by looking at the world in a radically different way. Daniel Burris serves as a strategic advisor to executives from a wide range of Fortune 500 companies. He's founded and managed six successful companies and has been the keynote speaker to more than 2,400 audiences worldwide. His previous books include Technotrends, which has been an international bestseller. It is my pleasure to welcome Daniel Burris here to talk about his newest work, Flash Foresight, How to See the Invisible and Do the Impossible. Daniel Burris, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
You know, there's a lot of people that say they can predict the future, but most of them, most of the time, are wrong. You have a pretty darn good track record in seeing what's coming at us.
Yeah, well, since I've been doing this for 28 years, I've got a newsletter that's 26 years old, and I've written six books that have been bestsellers. There's a lot of track record that people can check on, and I have had a very, very accurate track record. And I'll tell you the secret ingredient. The secret ingredient is I leave out the parts I can be wrong about. But what's important, Jeff, is how much you can still be right about if you know the right way and the right places to look. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, because I wanted to teach others how to do this.
One of the problems, it seems, today is that there's so much noise out there. There's so much supposed information coming at us that it's very hard to separate out the noise from the things that really matter, that really are going to impact that future.
Well, that's a great insight, and let me just put it to you this way. There is a mountain of true, amazing opportunity right now, and I'll talk a little bit more about that mountain of opportunity in this interview, that is solid as a mountain is, but it is shrouded in fog, and the fog is, frankly, the news. Bad news sells. Good news doesn't sell. So we get a lot of bad news. And by the way, if there's no bad news to report, they give you the anniversary of bad news.
Right.
So it keeps us from seeing all of the things that actually can be done. And that's one of the things that I talk about in the book, is the certainty of that mountain and what exactly it is, instead of just leaving it abstract.
The other side of that coin, I suppose, is being too fanciful, predicting a future that has more science fiction quality than it does grounded in reality. I mean, progress happens in clear, measured steps. We generally don't take these giant leaps.
Yeah, that's another really good observation on your part. And I think the reason, again, the book has, Flash Foresight, has become a Wall Street Journal, New York Times bestseller so fast, and it's sweeping around the world, is because it's practical. It's taking steps that you can understand. Let me give you an example.
Sure.
So that we aren't too abstract here. And one of the, of course, first of all, the subtitle, How to See the Invisible and Do the Impossible. The reason I titled it that is, ever since man has set foot on the planet, we've been doing impossible things. I mean, at one time, there was no radio, there was no television, there was no airplanes. Matter of fact, you had to find a stump. There were no chairs to sit on. So how have humans been able to do impossible things ever since we've set foot on this planet? And the answer is, give me a new tool, I'll change the world. In other words, it's by seeing what others aren't seeing so that you can do what others aren't doing. That's the key. There are these seven principles in the book that make the invisible opportunity visible, in other words, that mountain I talked about, or the solution to a problem that might seem impossible visible. And the minute that opportunity becomes visible, that solution to that seemingly impossible problem becomes visible to you, you get a flash of foresight that allows you to move forward in a way that you couldn't have done before. So basically, that's what the book is. And now to address your question in with that framing, one of the seven principles of making invisible opportunities visible is certainty. See, we live in an uncertain world. That's part of the fog, by the way. And that's why so many predictions don't work out, is because there's a lot of uncertainty. And there are what I call hard trends and soft trends. Hard trends absolutely will happen. Soft trends might happen. So a lot of people will tell you about trends, not realizing it's a soft trend, and it doesn't happen, and you think, well, you know, that's why so many people are wrong. But if you know the difference, which I will teach you in just a few minutes, you can understand how you can make accurate forecasts. And let's face it, we're going to spend the rest of our life in the future. If you can predict it with accuracy, you're going to be doing a lot better. So let me just give you an example.
Sure.
So we know what we're talking about and with that certainty. A number of years ago, I met Rick Wagner, former chairman of GM, when he was still the chairman. He knew I was a forecaster futurist. When we met, he said to me, well, of course, no one can accurately predict the future. And I said, well, let's see. It's fall now. I predict next will be winter. And, of course, I was right. Now, what did I do? I gave you an example of cycles. There are over 300 known cycles, business cycles, weather cycles, sales cycles, biological cycles, that let you predict the future. But and Warren Buffett knows all about those. When everyone else is selling, he's buying. When everyone else is buying, he's selling. So he uses cycles very wisely, and so do a lot of other people, including farmers and astronomers. But there's another kind of change that economists don't study, and that's why they've been so wrong lately, and that is permanent change, linear change. Once this kind of change hits, you're not going back. For example, once people get a smartphone, they're not going back to a dumb phone. Once the people in India get air conditioning, they're not going to say, we don't need air conditioning anymore. Once the people in China park their bicycle and get a car, they're not going to say, let's get rid of cars and go back to bikes. These are one-way changes. 78 million baby boomers in the United States. Guess what? They're not going to get older. Or, pardon me, they're not going to
get
younger.
Right.
They're not going to get younger. They're going to get older. That's a one-way road. So once we understand the power of that and how you can use it as a predictive tool, it's quite amazing. So in an uncertain world, I have to ask myself, what am I certain about? So let me give you a simple technical example that everyone listening can understand. Let's take the smartphone. Let's just take an iPhone, for example. Mm-hmm. Let's not even talk about the next iPhone. Let's talk about the one after that. No one's even written about that yet, but yet all of us know about it. We just didn't realize it. Will it have a faster processor in it? What do you think?
Yes.
You're right, by the way. Are you certain? The answer is
I'm
yes.
I'm certain, yes.
Well, see, all right, there's number one. We have 3G wireless now. We got 4G just coming out. Is that it? Or do you think there may be something else coming? And could you guess what they might call it?
Well, they might call it 5G.
And you will be right once again.
Could be 4G plus first.
There'll be a 4G Lite, which we already have, but then it'll be 5G. And, of course, there'll be 6 and 7. As a matter of fact, Cisco is putting in routers right now on the Internet that are giving us, every man, woman, and child in China, for example, the ability to send a high-definition video and won't take down the system or buckle it at all. So bandwidth isn't a problem. So there's a couple of certainties. How about this? There was a chip I reported about in my Technotrends newsletter a few years ago. Pretty easy to predict the future when it's already invented. And this chip can go in a cell phone or in a camera and beam the image on a screen or a wall. By the way, that's already coming out in products today.
Right.
Do you think that that image, no way, will get better? Or do you think it could get better every year?
It will get better.
Once again, you got a certainty, and you're right. See, you're pretty good at being a futurist once you know how. So if we've got increasing bandwidth, if we've got increasing processing power, and by the way, some of us watch Jeopardy and the IBM supercomputer winning the humans, and we're about to put processing power in the cloud. See, right now we store all of our files and pictures up there, but we're about to start storing having processing power up there, which means that we can turn our smartphone and our tablet into a supercomputer just by turning it on, because we don't need a supercomputer in the tablet. We just need to access it in real time in the cloud. By the way, do you think I'm crazy, or do you think that's going to happen?
It's going to happen. It's happening.
Thank you. Once again, you're right. Well, let's take those certainties. We got about four or five big ones there about smartphones and tablets, and let's turn it into a flash foresight so everyone gets the idea. Do you think we can transform, based on these certainties we just talked about, in a short amount of time, how we train and how we educate people using things like smartphones and tablets? What do you think?
I think that the answer is yes, but what's so amazing is how much resistance there always is to this.
Of course. And the reason there's resistance is human nature. See, human nature, it makes us want to protect and defend the status quo, protect and defend the way it is because we're familiar with it. And it's human nature. The key is today we need to get over it fast. because failing to get over it means that you're a Blockbuster instead of a Netflix. Failing to get over it means you're a Polaroid instead of a, you know, because let's face it, Polaroid was in the instant photography business. Isn't that what digital is? But they didn't realize that digital was a hard trend that would definitely happen. They thought it was a soft trend, didn't get into it, and they don't exist today. So we used to be able to, because of the slow pace of change, kind of slowly get around to accepting the new realities. Today, we are no longer in a period of change. We've just entered, and this is one of the things I talk about in the book, a true period based on certainty of transformation. And change and transformation are very different things. I'll give you a quick example. When I was a kid, I could listen to my albums, my Led Zeppelin and my Pink Floyd, my Jimi Hendrix and my Allman Brothers, so now you get my vintage, one album per spinning disc. And then as I got older, all of a sudden there was a technological change, I emphasize that word, that came along, and now I could get one album per smaller spinning disc called a CD, and I liked it. Matter of fact, not only was it smaller, but it got rid of all the hisses and the pops and scratches. So I rebought all my old stuff and bought all the new stuff on CDs. Well, today, I got all my music and a computer and video and a television and all that stuff in my cell phone. It didn't change how I listen to music. It transformed it, and I'm not going back. Well, in that same way, we're going to transform how we sell, how we market, how we communicate with each other, how we innovate, how we train, how we educate in a five-year period. We've never done that before. That's why I wrote this book, We Better Wake Up to the Opportunity. And in this short period of time, because of all these changes coming together all at the same time, we're going to transform those things. And by the way, if you don't, your competition will.
Of course, the question seems to be then, what are the business models? What are the ways in which that technology is transformative to the businesses and the things that already exist, whether it's the music business or the movie business or education or any of the things you've talked about, that all of those certainties with respect to where the technology is going doesn't exactly provide a certainty as to how that technology will be transformative for these different areas?
Once again, excellent question. And I believe that what we have, because I work with so many different companies and executives, not only here in the U.S. but around the world, that, again, it's our nature to protect and defend our business model and the status quo. But once we start seeing, thanks to certainty, and embracing, thanks to certainty, the change, the rapid transformations that are happening, we start seeing the opportunities. Let me give you a good example. When voice over IP, in other words, the ability to make phone calls over the Internet, first started happening, who hated that the most? The answer? The phone companies. Well, they hated that. They were telling you, you're taking our long distance. That's our cash cow. Now, today, who's selling it? The answer? The phone companies. It's one of their biggest profit centers. Because it turned out in business that there were two networks everybody had to manage, a data network and a voice network, and now when you make them digital, you can combine them into one network, but you can't do it yourself. You're going to need help. Voila, the phone company. So at first, they hated it and thought it was stealing their cash cow. Now they're making more money than ever doing something different. And the old cash cow, frankly, wasn't that good, they found out. So it's really being willing and to see the new and realize with certainty, that's what I'm bringing to people with the book, is to how to understand what will happen versus what might happen, so that we can become anticipatory organizations and individuals. See, most of the time we just sit back and react. Change comes to us, and we got to be agile. We got to move fast. You've got to learn how to get out of the way from here's another thing that hit me. But if you're anticipatory, using, again, hard trends and certainty, the things we know that will happen, then you can actually get ahead of the curve and not be bleeding, but rather you can be leading.
Which brings it back to something you touched on before with respect to human nature and the fear factor that sets in.
Yeah, the bigger, what I'm trying to do is, fear does drive us. Let's just be honest about human nature. Fear
right.
does drive us. So we have to realize what's the bigger fear. And right now what I'm trying to do is to say transformation is going to happen whether you like it or not. We're going to transform how we sell. I mean, look at 50 Cent, who is one of the rappers. He was paid $10,000. That's it, $10,000 to do one tweet, which is two sentences, promoting a product. Now, you might think, wow, $10,000, that's a lot of money to pay for somebody to tweet out two sentences. How much did that product sales go up in one day after the tweet? And the answer was $159 million it went up in sales. When Monty Python, some of the listeners might like Monty Python, they were selling their DVDs of the old shows on Amazon, but they weren't doing that good until they put little snippets of those shows on YouTube. Within a month, sales went up 60,000%. We're talking transformation here. So here's the fear. My fear, the bigger fear you should all have is, what happens if you don't do it? Because I'm telling you, your competition will. See, transformation is going to happen whether you like it or not. I would like you to get and to embrace it, because once you start looking at what's taking place right now, you can see that, for example, in this country, the United States, which seems to be floundering right now, could actually be creating an amazing number of new jobs, an amazing number of new industries that are all based on hard trends and certainty, and pull ourselves out of what seems to be a little bit of the dumps right now with all of our surplus, all of our deficits. If we could only, once again, get past all the fog, see the mountain of opportunity, and move forward.
Why, besides human nature, among people, for example, in business, whose job it is essentially to try and get out ahead of the curve, to try and be profitable quarter to quarter to quarter, why is it so hard even for them to see this?
Excellent. We are way too busy. Let me just ask you and the listeners a question. 5 years before General Motors went bankrupt, were the top 10 executives, every single day when they went to work, really busy? What
Yes.
do you think?
Yes.
Absolutely. Didn't help them, isn't going to help you either. You see, in the old days, meaning 5 years ago, 3 years ago, you could be busy and get away with it. And that's all you were, busy every day, busy. And by the way, that means not strategic. That means you don't have time to think about the future. Besides, it's all changing anyway, so why bother to look? And there's all that uncertainty, so why bother? But today, with a more rapid transformation taking place, that is going to get you into trouble faster. So we need to spend a little time. I'm not saying you should not be busy. You're probably going to continue to be busy. But you need to block out, here's my advice to all of our listeners, at least 1 hour a week. That's doable. By the way, write it in your calendar or you're going to be too busy and you won't do it. 1 hour a week, you need to unplug from the present and all the crisis and all the fires you're putting out, and stop being a crisis manager and start being an opportunity manager. Plug into your future. Like I said, that's where you're going to spend the rest of your life. Ask yourself, what am I certain about? And I suggest, again, I think I wrote this book because I wanted to help people pick up Flash Foresight and really learn how to look at that future with hard trends, soft trends, permanent changes, linear changes, so that you can make a list of all the things you're certain about and then use that to create your path forward. It can be very powerful.
How much of it is definable versus how much of it is intuitive for some people?
Well, if it was all intuitive, it would be too black magic, and I wouldn't be able to write a book around that, because some people would be... Not that many people are intuitive when it comes to the future. Some people might be more gifted than others, but again, that's not going to help people that aren't. What I did is I created and I wrote it with stories of how small companies, big companies, individuals, even school districts facing mountains of problems used one of the seven principles to do what they thought was impossible in a short period of time. So the book is practical with examples to show how anyone can do it, even when you seem to be faced with massive cuts and layoffs like that, the school district. Matter of fact, I can tell you about that if you'd like.
Go ahead. We've got a few minutes.
Yeah. This was in Michigan, which, as you know, been very devastated by economies and job layoffs. And there was a large, very large school district, and they were facing all these budget cuts. They couldn't get the money. They were going to have to lay off all these teachers and stop all these programs. And what do they usually do? Well, they, of course, get people to give them money, either the state or the national government. So one of the principles in the book is opposites work better. So I suggested, well, why don't we make money instead of ask for money? So you've got all of these school buildings, and you're close to the Detroit airport. Why don't you put advertising on the roof? You can make money on that. teachers don't see it, the kids don't see it, the parents don't see it, but all the people flying over do. By the way, they brought in a lot of money doing that. Secondly, you've got thousands and thousands of computers, and they're turned off at night when everyone's sleeping. Let's do the opposite. Let's leave them on and use some free software that link them all together so that they create a giant supercomputer, and let's rent that supercomputer out to a company. They did that and brought in over six figures a year. Now, I just gave you two quick examples of how you can do things that they thought was impossible. They didn't realize they could do that, but yet they could. They just weren't looking. They were too busy.
Daniel Burris, the book is Flash Foresight, How to See the Invisible and Do the Impossible. Daniel, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
It was my pleasure.
Thank you.